Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is James LaJoie, who is the founder of PSP Compass Solutions. Today, we're going to be discussing James' journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, James.
Thanks, Julia. I really appreciate you getting me on here.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
The ending result for the client. And I love what I do. I've learned a lot about it in the last 6-7 years that I've had this agency and working with people and business partners and just the always learning and always having to keep up with different types of technologies, innovations within the industry. It's a lot of fun. It keeps me busy.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's constantly growing and evolving. So it's definitely, if that's something that fuels you, it's the perfect industry to be in.
Yeah, I agree.
So how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah, so background with me, I worked in the logistics and supply chain for about 7 years. I had moved up from Miami to Denver with that company. And after a while, I was kind of looking for a change. And so I ended up going to a this big conference here in Colorado called Denver Startup Week. They had this huge job fair and ended up meeting a startup that I started working for at an entry level doing more like analysis, customer service for marketing. And worked there for a couple of years and met my now business partner. And we started our own business with that about maybe 4 years ago.
Interesting. Yeah, that's so cool. It's so interesting because every agency owner, I want to say like 80-90% of them have the most interesting story about how they got into digital marketing. It's very rarely, you know, you took the traditional approach where, you know, you went to school, you got the job in marketing, and then you started the agency. So it's always really interesting to hear about, you know, the unique ways that people get into digital marketing and then start their agency.
Yeah. A lot of the other agency owners that we partner with or work with, I found out, have very diverse backgrounds. Most of the people that actually studied marketing, they all end up working for these agencies. But most of the people that started, they all came from tons of different backgrounds that I've met over the years, which lends a lot of experience and perspective from what I've seen in creating campaigns.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what it was like in the early days when you were first starting out PSP Compass Solutions. You know, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome?
Oh boy, where do I start? you know, going from corporate culture and corporate structure to startup, being your own boss, and then also being the boss of others. It was very interesting. In corporate, I was a boss, but they have already set structure and policies to follow. Versus with your own company, you got to create your own. So that was definitely a challenge. It was an enjoyable challenge because I was doing my own thing. But that growth and, you know, kind of structuring things, time management, learning how everything would work, and then being able to duplicate that with anybody that worked with you or you brought on.
Yep.
Definitely posed a challenge for me and my business partner at first. The fun part was, you know, going to clients, selling the idea, talking about our whole idea with PSP and why we started the whole company versus other marketing. The hard part was, you know, consistently getting that quality and delivering the same type of experience to our clients every time.
Right.
that was part of the struggle, finding good people to work. Mm-hmm. That was another one. And then keeping understanding this industry specifically with, you know, Google, Facebook, and the whole playing field of what changes, how often it changes. That was a really, really big obstacle at first, was Google was changing things and Facebook was changing things like every 3 months. Mm-hmm. But they weren't very, I say they're not very good even now at explaining what they change and kind of sending out a report of, hey, here's everything that changed, here's what you guys have to do. You kind of have to reverse engineer it and figure it out yourself. But
okay,
those are some of the main challenges starting out. And then of course, funding, you know, we bootstrap, no investment, no outside. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much a common denominator when you start a business, is either getting funding outside and having outside investors, or, you know, figuring out how to come up with the money either through clients or your own money to start things out.
Yeah. So how did you, you know, ensure that a steady stream of new clients were coming through your doors? You know, how are you bringing in those leads into your agency?
At first, it was a lot of cold calling. The stuff I really hate, my business partner, he might have enjoyed it a little more, but I doubt it. It was just really calling people and getting those hangups and no's. And then big thing with what I did, a strategy was networking events. So trying to get out, yes, as many networking events as possible. I had a part-time job at first. So, you know, I would go do the job. And in between that, I'd try to get networking events during the day, at night, even the weekends, you know, meeting people. And then as time progressed and we had a little bit of money to invest back, we started on a lead generation from either companies or contractors, and then hired, nice, a couple of salespeople to be able to teach them the closing aspect of it. But at first it was just, you know, kind of getting out there, like the Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, sitting at every door and, you know, saying, hey, you want to buy my cookies type thing. So that's kind of what we did.
Yeah, no, you got to do what you got to do to get those first few clients. And so now what does your lead gen strategy look like? You know, how are you bringing in leads into your agency today?
So now it's still word of mouth. It's still networking events. I always tell my clients, we try to practice what we preach. Word of mouth is the best marketing that you can have and get for your business. Now, yes, everything else a marketing company does, like us or a firm or agency, whatever you want to call it, or any one man show or a team, is how do you facilitate word of mouth marketing? So how do you help your brand and your business stick out, be unique, to get people to talk about it? So that's the number one rule. And then we have a couple of different channels. We do paid ads, a lot of social organic marketing. So we do a lot of things with social media, mm-hmm, blog posts, press releases, and then salespeople. So we have a couple sales consultants that work for us, so they can help facilitate all those different channels whenever we have an inquiries. As you build your brand, you get a lot of recognition. So we're getting form submissions from the website. We're getting people calling us, people being referred to us, mm-hmm, which is another good way. So the word of mouth is always going to, it's part, referrals is part of that word of mouth marketing, either somebody directly talking about you or indirectly, and then them finding out about you.
Interesting. So what has it been like growing a sales team within your agency? Because not every agency has their own sales team. You know, oftentimes it's, you know, the owner of the company is the sole salesperson. So what has that experience been like growing an actual sales team within your agency?
It's been challenging. I personally deal with a lot of the operational stuff, and my business partner is definitely head of sales. And I thought that whole adage, or the phrase they always use, where marketing and operations always argue back and forth, I thought, I'm like, oh, we're in a startup, we'll be fine with that. That's just corporate companies. No, there's a lot of concepts between both of us that we had to work through. So
yeah,
it was definitely challenging, but it's just really kind of, it's trying to find the right people. And we've gone through a lot of people that worked for us either for a week or a couple months, and then kind of moved off into better and bigger things, which is great. Happy for them, but it's part of what comes with that sales role. So, but yeah, I mean, other than being challenging and just kind of sticking to it, you got to sift through the dirt to get some of the gold. And that's kind of how, mm-hmm, it works with finding good people. And then even just not even good people, just finding people that, you know, don't have bigger opportunities coming around the bend. You know, it's really right, keeping up with the tabs on that. So,
yep.
Yeah.
How do you incentivize your team members to, you know, create that loyalty? You know, how do you build that that company culture that's going to, you know, just entice your team to be loyal?
With that, I learned in my experience is making people feel a part of the process by respect and then making them feel valued for the work they do, but also understanding and kind of helping them along in their way of how do we add to this quality? How do we make this better? So number one rule is, you know, money always talks, right? Everybody needs to make money and that kind of stuff. So everybody gets a piece of the pie, so to speak.
Yep.
You know, percentages, little referral fees, like stuff like that. Even internal team members, if we do really well in a quarter, we do really well in a year, everybody's getting a bonus. Everybody's getting some type of benefit from that. Excuse me. The other side is that engagement process. Our company, PSP, stands for People Service Profit. And that whole name comes from, you know, we focus on people first, both our clients and our internal team. We're a big believer that if you focus on people, making them feel valued, making them feel a part of this process, this team, engaged like a family, really investing into that, everybody, our team is going to provide a service. The client's going to enjoy the experience with the service we provide, and the profit's going to be made on the back end guaranteed.
Yes.
How much of that, you know, that's all worked out, but you know, it's that people first mentality. So that's how we really try to retain our team members, even contractors with repeat business, is really investing in that and really instilling that in our internal team and then our contractors, which then fall over into how they talk to the clients or how they treat the clients.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, happy team members at the end of the day are just going to produce, you know, a higher quality of work. They're going to be cheerful at work. They're going to enjoy what they're doing. So yeah, it makes so much sense to really invest the time and money in really, you know, investing in your team, because it's going to pay you back.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yes. Awesome. So, you know, what would you say is the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing PSP Compass Solutions?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of going back to your question about at first, it was growth, you know, getting your brand out there.
Yeah.
Now that we're in our, I would say, our like phase two, phase three, where we've got brand recognition, now we're getting clients in, we're really focusing on consistent quality for all the different types of campaigns we do. At first, we wanted to be a regular agency that really focused in one industry. Now with our focus shifting into educating, you know, business owners and teams, what marketing is, what type of marketing they need for their business. How do you keep that consistent quality when you're shifting your focus from different types of industries over different businesses? That's probably right now what our biggest challenges have been. And then of course, you know, overall growth for the company, as you grow your team members, as you grow your tools, your resources, you need more growth in terms of more clients coming in. That's always been a factor in it, but I think more now what we've had to figure out is that quality aspect of things.
So what are some things you've learned along the way when it comes to creating that consistent quality?
Yeah, definitely being consistent and keeping up with your team members, being consistent with being open to feedback. That's a big thing. We've done exit interviews, even with clients that might have gone away with not the best idea of us or being totally satisfied or happy with what's going on. I've always tried to get exit interviews, offer some incentive just to like, hey, talk to me, tell me what you think, things that we could have done better. Like, where exactly do you feel things could have been different? And it really helped us kind of hone in our communication in terms of communicating expectations, you know, with the marketing campaign they had. And it also showed us some holes and gaps that we've had in terms of how we delivered our service.
Yeah. I think that's such a great thing to do, is just because it can be difficult to hear that, you know, that feedback. Sometimes it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's so beneficial when you're able to get that feedback, and then you can just, you know, adjust your processes moving forward. And it just helps benefit, you know, both your team and your clients going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely some of the feedback I've heard from some of our clients have definitely been tougher than others. But overall, I say it's a great experience in the end that we're able to go back and look at it.
Yeah. And then is that something that you also do from your, you know, your team members? Is that you collect that feedback from them as well? Or is that something that you more so do with your clients?
Nope. Everyone that people first with team that go over in the clients, that's what we try to instill. And that's what we promote within. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a learning curve for some rather than others, but always trying to promote that feedback of, you know, just directly, intentionally, like, hey, what's going on here? You know, no one's wrong here. No one's going to get punished, but like, how do we make this better? How do we do better? Are we stuck? Do we need to get more resources, more tools? Do we need to bring outside people in? Mm-hmm. I really try to promote that both internally, just to, so they promote it externally. That whole people service profit thing was it was something I learned from a different company. And the whole aspect of it is kind of what you said before, where if you're internally, they have that culture, they have that mentality, they're naturally going to reciprocate that to the clients when they're talking to them.
Yes.
But if you're having to follow like a SOP procedure or something, and you're not incorporating that into your culture, it's mm-hmm. a lot harder to recite it like a, you know, a sales pitch or something like that.
Yes, absolutely. So interesting.
Yeah.
So I know you collect feedback as a way to, you know, help make the client experience better. So what are some other ways that you help create a really positive experience for your clients so that you're going to have happier clients at the end of the day?
Yeah. So feedback is one of them. Constant communication, what I call it. So we try to get a schedule based on what the client wants. Some clients don't want to be recurring clients. They don't want to be contacted every week. They want to be contacted once a month. They want to have a little meeting, go over the report, over their campaign, see what we're doing, see what we're not doing. Some clients want to be contacted every week.
That's so smart, because that's like where communication breaks down, is when you have different opinions on how often you should be updated. And
right.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a simple thing that I think makes a huge difference.
It's the simple things that count. I realize when it comes to, you know, us as humans, you know, even from my personal life to professional life, I've noticed between some of my friends, like we all have a different way of communicating. Mm-hmm. And when we understand that with each other, we have a great time. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's a little bit harder with, you know, businesses and clients and internal teams, because there's a lot more moving pieces. Mm-hmm. But if we can create some aspect of that within the business, it makes it a much better experience to go through.
Yes.
I always tell my internal team, it's, you know, if how do you know what the client wants? Just ask them what they want and just put that in your notes within their onboarding packet. And that's how we'll do it. Why make one rule for everyone? It's easier just to ask them what they want.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. So where do you see PSP Compass Solutions in 5 years' time?
Definitely bigger, hopefully. That's the whole goal. But I want our whole goal with PSP when we started was to create more of a, I want to say like a firm from a consulting aspect. Mm-hmm. Just because when we started this, we saw a lot of scorched earth in just the marketing industry. I'm not talking bad about any one company, but just as a whole, a lot of people don't understand what marketing is for their business and, you know, what it entails, what's included, like what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. Every business is a little bit different, but they all have the same goal. They want to promote sales. They want to promote traffic. They want to promote their brand.
Yes.
So understanding your type of business, your type of service or product, and where to make the best efforts in marketing it at, mm-hmm. that was our whole goal. So in 5 years from now, being able to have a bigger team that has a lot more expertise, a lot more diverse background, as we mentioned earlier, it really lends to being able to speak to multiple different types of clients and businesses, mm-hmm. and to be able to say, hey, you know, I can offer you some insight here that other people don't know because I have this background.
Yeah.
So I try to find people with more diverse background that just understand marketing, mm-hmm. because we can apply what they already know with marketing, but the background we cannot teach.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The experiences they have, you can't teach that. So
yeah,
definitely grown, and definitely a lot more clients in 5 years from now. I definitely, the quality and knowledge and expertise is really what I look for in terms of growing this business with people that I bring on. So I'm hoping and I'm working towards having that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we are getting ready to wrap up and move on to the Fast Five here shortly. But do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. One thing I've learned in the last 4 years, even with a business partner, is patience is something I've had to learn throughout this whole process and in different areas. Mm-hmm. So one thing I would tell everyone is don't be too eager for the ending result that you miss out on the journey of what it takes to get there. There's things that you have to do to, you know, to be able to live and, you know, pay rent, pay your bills. But there's other things that, you know, understanding and really thinking through that balance of, okay, what do I just need to kind of sit back and, you know, I've done all I can, I've done the best I can, now I just need to let it work. That's something that kind of helped me out, that I've had multiple of really good friends, other business owners that are my friends, that have kind of, you know, told me that, and we told each other throughout different times. I would definitely think about that as you go through this process and, you know, building businesses and even being a single solo entrepreneur, definitely something that would help out.
Yeah, absolutely. Patience is such a virtue, as they say, you know?
Right.
And I think, you know, finding that balance of, you know, having that urgency behind what you're doing, but also realizing that it does take time, is, you know, it's a hard balance to strike, but it's so beneficial.
Exactly. You nailed it on the head.
So now we're ready to move on to the fast five. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yeah. So, Boundaries by Townsend and Cloud. It was John Townsend and Henry Cloud. They have a couple different types of boundary books that they've written about. Mm-hmm. That was something I read early on in my business career for my personal life, believe it or not. And then there was a lot of concept in there that, you know, dealing with a business, dealing with employees, dealing with you as an entrepreneur, that it really helped out in. And I actually reread it about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, just to kind of refresh on everything. It definitely helps you think through how to set boundaries, but not just as a catch-all. As you evolve through, you know, your personal life, but also these types of businesses, mm-hmm. you get into different phases of it where different boundaries have to be created, and also different boundaries have to be tweaked. Mm-hmm. And it's all for the benefit of how do you keep your mental health in check, and how do you also instill boundaries with people that you work with, but also help other people that work for you and with your team. How do you help them create boundaries for them? Because a lot of I've noticed with entrepreneurs and business owners and solopreneurs, those boundaries, when you start out, you're trying to figure out the time management, how to keep the personal different from the professional and all that kind of stuff. And those boundaries really help. And thinking through it's difficult and challenging sometimes because you don't know what to do. So you make a decision, you do it, and you find out if it works or not. And if it doesn't, then it's okay, this didn't work. I need to think about this in a different way. And it's definitely a difficult process sometimes because it's a lot of frustration, a lot of emotions. So definitely reading, if you take a look at those books, read through them, like, it definitely will give you a lot of different nuggets for that would apply to everyone's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think having those boundaries and also, you know, knowing when to say no is two things that can be definitely difficult, but is essential as an entrepreneur, or you'll just end up in these situations where you'll be resentful at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely knowing when to say no is one of them. And for me and my business partner, we were talking about it, is how to say no to people. It's really different when you deal with different people. So it's helped out a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I'm not an early bird, so I'm usually up by like 8:30. And there was one thing. So every morning I listen to this podcast. It's called Today in Digital Marketing. And it's literally like a Bloomberg or, you know, CNN newscast just for marketers. It has been the most beneficial thing that I listen to every morning.
Oh, very cool.
For the last, 6-7 months, I found out about it earlier this year. It was over COVID. I listened to a bunch of podcasts and was kind of seeing what I can, you know, find. And I really, really, I highly recommend it. And I really like it just to understand what's going on in the marketing industry, especially with Google and Facebook. They go into all the different aspects of what's changing. and, you know, just updated news like TikTok and, you know, Venmo, PayPal. So you kind of understand how the landscape might change.
Awesome. That sounds like a great recommendation.
It's great. It's great. It's one of those things I do while I'm eating breakfast or having my coffee. And then, you know, usually right after that, I take about half an hour of just, you know, kind of alone, quiet time just before I get into the day. But usually in the morning, I'm the most focused. So I try to dive right into projects and work and getting back to everything, because by the afternoon, I'm almost checked out.
Yeah. Awesome. So is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah. CEO Tom Bilyeu, who he was one of the co-founders of Quest Nutritional Bars, or the Quest Nutrition.
Okay.
He has a, he does a lot of outside podcasts with his wife, Lisa Bilyeu. And, but for professionally and both personally with, you know, just being able to think and, you know, get some ideas from, he is somebody I've been following for a while, and I keep up with a lot of his content. He definitely gets into the, like, the nitty gritty of how to, you know, the different struggles and issues and obstacles you face with thinking and working through things. He's one of the people that I heard about the Boundaries book from. So, oh, okay. And then he talks a lot about that, both with his podcast Impact Theory. And then he has another podcast. I forgot the name of it. That's more business related.
Okay. Very cool. Definitely going to have to check that out. Sounds awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh, I have a lot. I think my favorite online tool right now is HubSpot, my CRM. It keeps me organized. It keeps everything that's going on in the business organized. Along with, you know, of course, Gmail. You know, we use G Suite for everything.
Yeah.
And then Slack. I think I'm on Slack more than I am on my own phone and text message with our internal teams and clients, but they're my favorite because I have to use them right now. Maybe something else will be my favorite 5 years from now.
Yeah. I think my favorite tool is the HubSpot integration for Gmail.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a good one. It's so helpful. And then it just automatically puts new contacts into your CRM for you.
And there's so much you can do with it. I keep finding out new things from my developers and then using it myself.
Yep. You can do like the templates and like speed up the process of writing emails. It's definitely a really handy little tool.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
This one I had, I was thinking about for a minute. I guess the time. Time is something that where the patience comes into in terms of giving it time. You know, you never know how much time something would take. So trying to put a time limit on it definitely creates a lot of stress for yourself. So I wish I would have known, like, try not to have time expectations, but have a balance with, you know, getting things done, urgency, being intentional and direct, but don't be so caught up in the time. Otherwise you will stress yourself out. And the main thing is with that time is the stress. You know, being an entrepreneur, you will deal and you have to learn to deal with a lot more stress and how to manage that stress than say technically working for somebody. You still deal with stress working when I was at the corporate company, but it's a different type of stress. The responsibility stress and things going wrong or things going right.
Yes.
Definitely puts a lot more weight. And I wish I would have known what that would have felt like ahead of time. So I could have worked harder to be like, all right, here's how we're going to manage it. Here's what I need to do about it type thing. But
yeah, you live absolutely. And you learn. 100%. Yes. It's definitely, it just goes with the territory for sure.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, James. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I really enjoyed learning about your story and your, you know, those challenges that you had to overcome along the way. So thank you for coming on today's show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking about it with you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.